So good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. I can hear myself back, but I can't hear from this side. Good morning. Good morning. Are you guys happy to be here this morning? Yes, yes, because it's a big day in history and it's a big day for us as well. Though we celebrate the resurrection and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, all our Sundays, you know, if you hear, we talk about God died for us, God rose for us, and He took the cross, and He gave life, He conquered death. But, you know, there's one day, one event happened in history. That day we call as a resurrection day or Easter. So I'll just read one verse. You know, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." So when we read this, all the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the epistles after that, Paul talks about this resurrection. He says, "My preaching is meaningless if I don't believe in the resurrection." Even though he was not one of the disciples, but still he says, "My preaching is useless if I don't talk about resurrection." And may that joy bound us this morning. No matter how we have come this morning, but we should know this for true, that death has been defeated. So you tell your neighbor that that death has been defeated. Yes, thank you. In 1 Corinthians, if you have your scripture portion, you can turn to your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 and 17. Paul talks about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And then a bit of 17. "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If you look at the 17, if Christ has not been raised, then you are still in your sins." You are still in your sins if Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, then you are still in your sins. That's what the great preacher, the great man of God, Apostle Paul, writes that in one of the epistles. So this morning I felt, what is it for us as we celebrate this day, the greatest day in history? So I felt that this for all of us, post-resurrection era, and maybe a reality check this morning for all of us. Post-resurrection is, resurrection happened, and after that, post-resurrection, a reality check for all of us. And we'll read from the book of John. Our four Gospels do account the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we will take from the book of John this morning, and I'll read through that for all of us. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over John 20. If not, it's there in the slide. "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have been, they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. It's all post-resurrection era. So, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with this news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So it's one of the gospels. John writes this events and account, and we see it in all the other four gospels as well. You know, every resurrection day or Easter, one prominent thing comes to my mind, is which I don't miss to share, is how this event changed the entire course of the world. It's so amazing to think that about the fact that Jesus never wrote a book. In fact, he never wrote anything down. Yet there are more books written about Jesus than any other subject in the world. And Jesus never composed a song. But there is more music written about Jesus Christ than any other subject, bar none in history. Jesus never drew any pictures or did a sculpture. But more art has been made about Jesus Christ than any other subject in history. Jesus never traveled more than 100 miles from where he was born, and yet you can see his followers of Jesus. They took every corner of the world and this planet. So what brought this change? You see beauty, you see art, you see music, you see books. The Bible is the most selling. Every year is a record. If you search, you'll get it. No other books been sold on record or be taken than the Bible. So what changed this? There should be some event which should trigger this change. And we see this happening again. It never stops. New songs have been composed. New books have been written. You know, scientists do research on this historical figure, Jesus. So what brought this change? That is the resurrection which brought this change and changed the entire course of history. Jesus changed how you look at art. Jesus changed the way you take music. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything. No other event in this entire world has so much of impact than the day of the resurrection. And the resurrection not only changed, it challenged many of them for their responses. And I think we all know what happened on the resurrection day. Means you know a bit of what happened on that day. So this morning, you're going to take the time out, share the person who is sitting next to you, and tell about what happened on that day. Whatever knowledge you have, whatever understanding you have, you can just share to your neighbor that what happened during that day. One of the Gospels we read, that was one of the events which happened on the resurrection day. So you can share with your neighbor a bit, in a minute or so, that what happened when Jesus was died, put it in a tomb, what happened after that. So your time starts now. Okay, so we know a bit or more or everything what was written during that day, the events. And this morning, I believe God is challenging us about the post-resurrection. We know what happened. We know what was done on that day. But this morning, God is going to challenge us on the post-resurrection events which happened after that. And it may be a reality check for us this morning. So the title of the message was Post-Resurrection Reality Check. Post-resurrection, a reality check for all of us. So when we read the book of John, when we read it, we see this event where we see Mary Magdalene going to the tomb and seeing that the tomb is empty and there is no one there. And we see the same thing written in that event has been written in the other gospels as well. So I took this event from the book of Mark. It's the same thing which happened. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And when they go there, the angel of the Lord said, "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He was risen. He is not here." So this is a post-resurrection. Jesus was resurrected. Now, there's a reality check which is happening. So, Mary Magdalene and all the other women, they all were there, even during the time where Jesus was crucified. And the Bible says, even when it was dark, or like just going to become morning, they wanted to go to that place. But you know what they carried? They carried something in their hand to anoint Jesus' body. So, what is it? Spices. They took that to anoint the body of Jesus. Where Jesus already spoke that I will be risen. I will not be there among you. I will be risen after 3 days. But the woman and all of them, they took something to anoint the body of Jesus. And these were the people who lived with Jesus, who believed in the word of Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They saw healing as well with Jesus. In the lives, you know, they saw Lazarus being healed. And they saw all this. But these are the people carrying something to anoint the body, which is the dead, body of dead. They're not going to meet someone who is alive, but they are going is dead. And this morning, that was something which happened 2,000 years back. And the post-resurrection, this morning, I believe God is asking us, are we in a state of meeting the dead? Are we believing in the lies of enemies which challenges the plan of God in your lives? Are we in a dead end where we don't believe in the word because it did not happen for years? The angel said, What are you looking for? And maybe in his heart, what you're carrying? Didn't he tell you? So they went to meet the dead, even though they heard about resurrection. And we can be in that same place this morning where he talked about resurrection. We sang about the power of resurrection. But we can go to meet the dead. Or we can be in the state of dead when we see a reality check, when we face a reality check of our faith. And we see it's dead. Let me anoint the dead. And I believe this verse, who all are here, including myself, God is challenging us this morning that He is not a dead God. He is not here. What you're carrying in your heart, carrying in your hands, is for the dead. But look at someone who is alive. You know, the world may offer us empty promises, but the promise of Easter is an empty tomb. Don't search for the dead, but believe the one who is alive. That was a state. You know, when we look at this, when we say, what passion? But they are going to meet the dead. Not believing in someone who promised that he is alive. Do you believe in dead? Are you believing in something we feel it's dead? Where God promised that it is alive? So we can be in that place. Be there with all our passion, with all our energy, with all our zeal, but it would be no more. So don't search for the dead, but believe the one who is alive. And later we see two men running. So we see this Peter and the other disciples. Disciples started. This is John for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go. Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were staying. So there was a mini marathon. Peter and John ran towards the tomb. And one of them outran. And in verse 8 says, he saw and he believed. And in verse 9 it says, they still did not understand the scripture. He saw and he believed. But still, there was lack of understanding of what was being told. Experienced in the post-resurrection era, the Spirit of God living in us, where you saw and we believed. And they ran. And I believe we have been called to run this race. When they heard something, they ran. And the tomb was empty. And we have been called to run this race. We need to believe what we have experienced in our lives and what God has called us for. Many times we may not even understand this entire scripture, but it's okay. But he still asks us to run this race. So God this morning asking us, Peter saw, they saw, and they believed. Did you see something in your life, God working? Did you see God's Spirit moving in our lives? They saw and they believed and they said, yes, There is something. That's the first step of faith which they take. So even may we may not understand the entire scripture, our knowledge may be limited, we may not know everything, or something is not revealed to us, but we have been called to run the race which God has called us for. And the third thing is encountering Jesus. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. You know, this morning, you know, this is 2023, 4 months, next new financial year. I want to ask this question, or God wants to ask this question to all of us. How many times did we encounter Jesus in this last 3 months? Did he drawing your attention or our attention? Are we meeting Jesus? Do we experience his presence? When is the last time we experienced his presence, or we felt, "Yes, I can experience the presence of God, the power of God, the comfort of God"? You know, she was searching in the tomb that this is where Jesus will be, meeting the dead. The tomb was empty, and he was among her, in midst of her, facing to her, face to face. You know, Jesus grabs our attention when we try to meet the dead. It can be anything in our life other than Jesus. That is, when we try to meet the dead, Jesus tries to grab, you know, he grabs our attention. And oh, he calls her by name, Mary. That's it. Broken. That's it. Only name. And this morning, it's been 3 months. Let's take this year. How many times have we heard the voice of God saying, "Virgil, and you break down. Here I am, Master." And God calling us, grabbing our attention in this post-resurrection era. We know about resurrection. We know the power of resurrection. We know what happened on resurrection. We believe in the resurrection. But we still search to meet the dead. If God calls us this morning, will we break down and say, "Rabboni, teacher"? I will certainly, when I was preparing, I said, "Lord, you call me, or you have called me, I will break down. Because I know how much I need you today." It was just name, no explanation. It was like, "Mary." And she looked back and she said, crying, said, "Teacher." You know, what is it this morning where God is trying to grab our attention? He's dead. He's not in the place where we are searching for, where we are carrying things and saying, this is what I'm going to offer. I believe God is not interested in that. God is interested in our name where He calls us and respond. And how much we need Him this morning. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 it says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. And they with me. So what are we carrying? And what is it for what we are not responding? He's just calling out my name. And we have to respond. Grabbing attention, face to face, the encounter of Jesus or the encounter with Jesus. And He wants those events to repeat in our lives this morning, that we would have an encounter with Jesus. He knows your name. He knows my name. When He calls, we have to respond. And she did. And she said, teacher. The post-resurrection, you know, responding in fear. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After He said this, He showed them His hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed and when they saw the Lord. So, they locked themselves in fear. And Jesus meets them in midst of their fears. And He says, peace be with you. And this morning, we may lock ourselves. But Jesus will come in midst of that fear and say, peace be with you. This day will only make sense. It will only make sense to us if we acknowledge what we are hearing from last 20, 30 minutes. Jesus meets us in midst of our fear. When we lock ourselves and He shows Himself to them. And are we seeing in our fears Jesus walking in midst of us? We have locked ourselves with that fear and Jesus walks inside that, in midst of that. And He shows Himself to them. And this morning God is saying to all of us, peace be with you. Peace be with you. So, responding in fear, even in the post-resurrection era. And then Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. You know what a promise we have this morning. We sang that song as well. He breathed that Spirit of God. The same Spirit which we have in us this morning. And from last few weeks, we are learning about the Holy Spirit from the book of Acts, which was poured on the first church and it was poured to us in our church as well. He says, I'm sending you. And he's sending us. Where is he sending us? He's sending us in our schools. He's sending us in our colleges. He's sending us in a battleground. He's sending us in our offices, in our neighborhood, in our nations, among the street children, among the worship. He's sending us. And everything changes when we acknowledge that. He has breathed His Spirit in us. He has breathed His Spirit in us. You know, these 12 people who were fishermen, tax collectors, farmers, how in the world they can multiply? 12 followers of Jesus, and we see Christianity being spread all over the earth. How? It is the power of resurrection. It was the Spirit which was there in them, and the same Spirit is in us this morning. In this post-resurrection, there was a person named Thomas. He said, I'm not going to believe. All the disciples said, we saw. You believe in this. It's like you have one person here and everyone is saying, you believe in this. We have experienced it. And Thomas says, I'm not going to. They say, we have seen the Lord. But he says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed. So Thomas was one of the persons who was not present initial encounter when they all saw. Everyone started talking to them, talking to him about Jesus. He said, I'm not going to believe. I want a personal encounter. Yes, it's nothing wrong to have a personal encounter with Jesus. But Jesus said, yes, you believed because you had a personal encounter with me. Again, that blessed is the one who believes in me, even though he doesn't have an encounter with me personally. So what conditions have we kept sitting here this morning? That I believe in you if this happens. We're talking about a post-resurrection where we know Jesus died on the cross, took my sin and shame. He resurrected. I have an eternal life. What is it we have kept this morning? Where we say to ourselves, let these conditions be met first. And lies in our lives, there's so much of doubt, and we have been so reluctant to believe in the power of action. You know what Jesus did? Jesus said, come. Put your finger and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put into my side. He said this, stop doubting and believe. He did not say, he said, come. He said, he rebuked his doubt and he said, stop doubting and believe. And this is what God expects this morning in our lives. Post-resurrection. And it's like, Thomas, put our name and say, stop doubting and believe. Don't forget that I am alive. And he says this, because you have seen me, you have believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And this morning, God, maybe we are in midst of the doubt, even we have experienced, we have encountered, we have been lived our life with God. We have been that part of that miracles. We have been part of that healing. We have been part of this feeding. We have been part of this miracle of provision in our life. We have been part of this great hand of God raising Lazarus. Stop doubting and believe. And that is what God has kept for our community this morning and for each one of us. So the post-resurrection, we may come here to celebrate, but God knows our heart, what we have inside. The message of resurrection, I believe it's incomplete without these three things. The resurrection should bring new life. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The resurrection promises us new life. Christ not only died for us, but he was resurrected on the third day and he gave a new life, a new spirit. And I look forward for those new things. And that's what we all sung this morning. The power of resurrection in me. And it should bring new life. And the second thing is, the power of resurrection gives me a promise of eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 15:54 and 55, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, death, is your strength? And this is what they had. God promised. You know, we had this question that how can this 12 man change and the gospel reaches towards the ends of this earth? Unimaginable. But you know what? They followed a great commission as well. God promises his spirit in us. It says in Romans 8, 9 and 11, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. So God promises us that we have the Spirit. Not the Spirit which lives in the realm of flesh, but the Spirit which lives our body, our soul, our mind, lives in the Spirit. And the same Spirit is offered to us as well. In other words, it's the same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now alive in us. You know, Christianity can become powerless. It's like a, you know, we went to Kashi, so it's like a boat without no wind. It's not going anywhere. But when God breathes His life, His Spirit, it catches that wind and we receive that power. The same power was offered to everyone, and we see in the book of Acts, everything was transformed. Lives being transformed. So these 12 disciples who were sitting in the room post-resurrection, we saw initially was they were going to meet the dead. But now they are believing in the risen God. They started believing in the risen God. And that is the message for all of us. What changed over the course of history was they believed in the risen God. And they knew that they are not running this race in vain, because someone has told us to run. But they knew their goal. They knew what they were doing. And we see they encountered Jesus. They encountered the Holy Spirit in their lives. Where they were trying to escape from the Spirit of God, locking themselves, but they started encountering Jesus. They started responding fear with faith. And the gospel they took to the ends of the earth. And they started trusting beyond their doubts. And that is how the gospel spread. The music, the art, everything being an inspiration. And this 12 man in that room, we saw their state. They are going to meet the dead with fear and doubt and all that they had. But when they had an encounter with Jesus, everything changed. These people who were, you can say that, why didn't they believe? Why they are so fearful? And they gave their life for the gospel. And it just spread, and spread. Because they responded in faith. Not in fear. They lived in faith. They experienced the power of God in their lives. And they were ready to give their life to God. And that's the reason the gospel just spread. Because they knew that they are not going to die. The people who were sitting in the room, because the religious leaders will come and catch them and crucify them. When they saw the resurrected Jesus, everything changed after that. This morning, if we see the resurrected Jesus in all our weakness, in all our failures, we can transform the lives. We can transform the world. When they encountered the resurrected Jesus, nothing stopped them. The same people who locked themselves, the same people who thought Christ died, was ready. They were ready to give their lives, and lives transformed. So this morning, Let us reflect on these things. It is not any human word or inspiration. I believe it's the word of God for all of us. He knows and He calls us by our name. And we need to respond in this way. Because the Spirit who is in us is greater than the Spirit who is there in this world. Again, I'll bring and end this message. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. If Christ has not been raised, then you are still in your sins. So this morning, let this joy which we have in Christ Jesus, let us celebrate that. Let it come out and reflect what God wants us. He met Thomas. He met Mary the Magdalene. He met his 12 disciples. He had to meet them in the places where they were. And God wants us to meet in the places where we are currently. If we believe in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, we can see this happening. And God will help us to respond in this way. So we'll sing one song. May all will rise up. And then we'll just pray. You know, this, till the time they set it up, we just reflect back in our lives. Post-resurrection, even we live in this era. Are we trying to meet the dead where he is alive? Are we running the race? Are we encountering Jesus? Are we responding in faith, not in fear? Are we ready for this great commission? Are we believe beyond our doubt? Christ offered himself. The disciples responded. The world responded. This religion, Christianity, responded. And it just spread. New life, eternal hope, and great commission. New life has been offered. Life beyond death, eternal hope, and the great commission is given to us. And let us sing this song in faith.
Because he lives.